Congratulations. You're a part of the revolution.
That's the kind of day it's been.
It's the Smart Way
right there.
Airing this quarter fan reaction.
The place where we want to hear from Big Orange Country.
Wait till I tell you what just happened.
To get online now.
865-200-5402.
865-200-5402.
And now, let's get to your host, Tony Basilio.
You got to accentuate the positive. Okay. So I'm sitting there, and I'm playing Rocky Top, you know, like we do each week here on your Smart Way Dalton Bearing Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction. As Tennessee wins today on homecoming. Misplaced homecoming game. Vols went on homecoming. Really, at this point in the season, what are you playing North Texas for? People on Twitter, I'm watching Twittersphere, ranting and raving about the game today. Why? What are you going to rant and rave about that game for? You get upset about that game? How in the world can your team focus when they're looking at a team that got beat 50-something by a 1AA football team? I say 1AA, I'm sorry, I'm not speaking the language. Let me accentuate the positive. Okay, so I'm getting ready to get on here today. This is how I know. It's just one of those days where we can't get out of second gear, to quote the great Sammy Hagar. By the way, my name is Tony Basilio. This is your Smart Way Dalton Bearing Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction coming to you from roughly 8 minutes from Neyland Stadium today, where Tennessee's victorious in front of a homecoming crowd. I look down at my computer and it says, literally, as I look down at it, in 10 seconds, computer will restart updates. It updated in the middle of Rocky Top. That's why Rocky Top cut off quickly. The computer updated in the middle of Rocky Top. Now, you know, sports fans, you know you got it bad when it's updating on you like that. Just a live update. To the game itself, let's accentuate the positive. Great to see the Vols back in Neyland Stadium today. Great to see Tennessee in those all-orange unis. Those all-orange unis bring me back, take me back home. That's a nice touch by Tennessee to do that. Nice touch by Butch Jones and company to do that. Nice to see Quentin Normandy getting a game. Boy, he's got a live arm, doesn't he? Really has a live arm. Wow. Nice to see Hurd and Kamara get 30 touches between them. As we accentuate the positive here. And you know what? Getting the game over with in the 12 o'clock window is going to be nice to nestle in later on tonight and watch some Southeastern Conference and college football. Dubsy, I get you in. Russell Smith, give me some thoughts on what you saw today, because I'm accentuating the positive today. I can't fault Tennessee for this. This game is a nothing opponent. It's a nothing homecoming game. You can't. People say, well, why can't you get up for it? Well, because you can't. I mean, it's just, that team stinks they played today.
Yeah, and I just look at it. I mean, it's more of the same what we've seen from this team. They can't put together an entire. I think the first drive was almost too easy.
Yes,
I think they came out plenty fired up to play.
Yep.
But then when you go right down the field with that minimal amount of resistance, I think they're just like, well, it's over, and they could never get back that initial intensity. So, I mean, that game.
And this team's not going to change. This team all year is going to play up to people and play down to people. And that's the thing that scares me about next week at Missouri. Missouri game is scaring me.
It's the thing that scares me about Butch Jones and this entire program. Is it just a this year thing, or is this a Butch Jones thing? Can they learn to play a complete game? Because if they can't, they're not going to be able to achieve their ultimate goals, you know, competing for championships down the line.
Smartway Dalton Bearing Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction, the place where you're the star. Our number is 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. If you want to get in with us today as you make your way out of Neyland Stadium, we'd love to hear from you. And we'll track it for you, what the coach has to say. For the most part, though, not a very clean effort by Tennessee. Not a game full of injuries, though. The other star of today's game was the field in Neyland Stadium. My gosh, that turf is awful. That was a brutal in there. I bet North Texas is probably saying, Tennessee can't do better than this for a field.
Oh, did you see their official Twitter account?
No, were they ripping it?
Yes.
What'd they say on the Twitter account?
It had a, they posted a GIF or GIF file.
Yeah.
Of, Jiffy they said, GIF. This is what happened before the game, and it was a picture of somebody painting grass green.
You're kidding me.
No, I'll see if I can find it for you.
Let's go to the phones, and I got a newsmaker hotline joining us from the great Northwest. He's a contributor at TonyBasilio.com. He coached with the Seattle Seahawks. He coached with your Tennessee Volunteers. He coached at Ole Miss. He played quarterback here, the great Jerry Colquitt. Jerry, how you doing, buddy?
How you doing, Tony?
We're flipping it around today on homecoming, Jerry. I would like your thoughts on what we've been talking about, which is I can't sit here, Jerry, and beat on the football team for today's game because that's a nothing opponent. Thoughts?
Right. I see where you're coming from. I do share some sentiments with Cinco also. You know, at some point.
That's Russell, but go ahead.
Russell.
Who's keeping track?
Yeah, who cares? They're both sheep. They're interchangeable as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Would you want me working on your teeth?
The clone like brings all the characters in and all at once.
Yeah, like the clone, right.
But anyways, yeah, so my thing is at some point for them to take the next step, it would be nice, you know, to see them play the way that they should play, instead of, like you said, playing according to, who they're playing that day, and the level of the competition. To me, that'd be a nice, sign of growth. You know, a team like today that they played against North Texas, where obviously, they're going to be, North Texas is going to be outmanned, you know, just coming in and just playing a solid game all around and, you know, putting up, you know, high 30s, low 40s in terms of point total. So, to me, that's one of those next steps in achievement that they got to take, in this Bush Jones era.
Yeah, today would have been a great place for a squash, game. I thought they would squash this team. North Texas has one of the worst defenses in the country statistically. They're absolutely awful. They gave up 45 points per game coming in. They get no respect. Hey, they played pretty well for themselves. North Texas did. And, you know, they had a couple wrinkles themselves that I liked. I like seeing. I mean, this is when you know what you just witnessed was really a no-count game. I love when I see North Texas with their rugby punter, Jerry, holding the ball like he did. I tell you what I don't like, kicking game-wise, is seeing us get a punt blocked with 4:30 to go in that game. I mean, it's one thing to kind of schlag around, but that should never happen in your building with a team like that that you've already finished off.
Yeah, agree. I mean, you know, to your point, as far as North Texas go, I mean, what I think we're just seeing there is, you know, they saw, hey, you know, if we can keep this thing into the 20s, we've got a shot. And, you know, one of the things that they obviously you know, try to do coming into this game was not give Tennessee any cheap points. So you got to give it to them as far as kicking game scheme wise. I wouldn't kick it to Sutton or, you know, doing some adjustments in terms of, of not kicking it to young Gary.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, those are all smart things in which they're saying, hey, let's shorten this game. Let's try to win the time of possession and let's not give them any free points. And, from Tennessee's standpoint, again, with Russ said, you know, it's one of those things where, hey, to play a clean game, play a good game all around. And again, it's one of those stuff where they got to continue to get better, and just grow up as a team all around. A game like this, you shouldn't be having a punt get blocked late in the game.
That's just not concentrating. That's like Rick Barnes said last night after his inaugural basketball game in Knoxville. He said, when you got guys not rebounding in your lineup, that's just not caring. I mean, you got to care. You can't let that happen. By the way, guys, Dubsy, the first window here of the day, it's going to be a really interesting day in college football, judging from the first window today. Auburn inserts Lambert back into the game late, and they score a couple of late touchdowns. They're on top of Auburn right now, or rather, Georgia's on top of Auburn, 20-10 with 3 minutes to go in the game. Mark Richt, the Cat has 9 lives. Missouri next week, we're waiting on them. They've got BYU tonight in Kansas City. That deal with Gary Pinkle broke after I left the air, Dubsy. You dealt with that on the air yesterday. Before we go to the phones, Russell, I'm really worried about next week's game with Missouri. It's
sure.
Official. I'm seriously worried. When I watched the way we played today, I'm worried. I'm just worried about that game. I was worried about it anyway.
Yeah.
I wanted to see us play a squash game and get some momentum going. I'm worried about our game next week up there.
You should have been worried about it anyway, because Tennessee hasn't beaten them. It's a long road trip. It's going to be cold, and they've got a good defense.
Yep.
Now you throw in the fact that they've had all this unrest on campus.
Yep.
How does that impact things? And you know they're going to be playing for Pinkle now, so
yep.
They've got extra motivation.
And it's a blackout after a whiteout this week, so it's like an ebony and an ivory kind of thing.
It's going to be...
Let's go to the phones, NWO style. Let's get as many people in here as we possibly can. I'll be honest with
phones
you.
Phones are blowing up, Tony.
I got one person on hold. I know. Look, I'm not a pretender, and I don't lie. And I say on this show, we take it to the last phone call.
This might be it.
Hear me, heed me. If I get one phone call, I will shut this thing down. I will do the spots, and I will walk out the door.
Well, I don't want to say that game was dull, but I've had more exciting waits in the waiting office of the doctor's office.
Oh. There's no telling.
I've had the old magazines.
I've had, seriously, I mean, that game right there, I've had flatulence that was more interesting. That game right there was brutal. But you know what? It's college football, and I'm going to have a few things to say about what today's game meant, because today's game did have meaning. It actually did, and it means something to me personally. I'm going to share this here in a minute. Let's go to the phones, though, without further ado. Let's get our first call. Hello and welcome. And by the way, our number is 865-200-5402 on your Smartway Dalton Behring Hydraulic. Fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello and welcome.
Hey, how you doing? This is Eric from Germany.
Hey, Eric in Germany, man. Great to hear from you.
Hey, before I kind of go on to whatever I wanted to talk about, I wanted to kind of take this opportunity to say that my prayers are with the people in Paris today. I woke up this morning here seeing that news, and it's kind of shaking me a little bit, to be quite honest with you.
It should shake us all. And let me give you one more thought. It should shake us all. Those people tried to get into a sporting event last night. 3 homicide bombers. They blew themselves up outside because the French president was there. Counts I read, though, is that they were trying to get inside that stadium and cause mass carnage. They were homicide bombers. They went in there to die and take people with them. Eric in Germany, I'll say to you today that maybe, just maybe, this will wake us all up to what's facing us. These people are anti-society, civilization, our way of life. It's not just the West. It's everybody that doesn't live in a cave and read off tablets. That's who they're going for.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've been in the Army for 13 years. I've been to war 3 times, and I've seen what these people are capable of. As far as the game today goes, this is the first time in about 3 weeks that I've been able to see a Tennessee game, because out here I can only really watch it through the Internet, and my Wi-Fi has been down for about 2 weeks. So this game today, in my opinion, was disgusting. It was actually gross to watch, because if there's one thing I can give Philip Fulmer in his years of being coached, or even the very first game that Lane Kiffin coached for us, when you play lesser thans, you're supposed to treat them as lesser thans. And I understand your point and your argument that, well, you know, you can't really get up for games like this. Well, you know what? It's you need to beat them like you're supposed to. And, you know, when Missouri sees that Tennessee has beaten North Texas 66-0, that should, like, not give you any kind of confidence at all that you have a chance next week. Am I wrong in saying this?
No, that's going to galvanize them. I mean, they're going to feel like they've got a chance, and if they didn't before, they do now. So, it again, only increases the degree of difficulty next week going forward.
The one thing we've seen, Eric, and I wish you could be with me next week at Cassie's because we're having a listener watch party for that game. The one thing we've seen from Tennessee, though, in this stretch is they're playing up to people and they're playing down to people. And sometimes they're doing both in the midst of a game. Like Russell said today, they came out like a world beater today. Last week against South Carolina, they came out like a world beater. And there's something about just this team with just not being able to finish games, not being able to finish drives offensively. People want to beat on Mike DeBoard. Hey, it's not Mike DeBoard's fault that Josh Dobbs was bouncing passes on third down today. That's not Mike DeBoard's fault. How's that Mike DeBoard? How's that Butch Jones's fault?
Yeah, well, it's a 12 o'clock kick. He might have only gotten into the press box an hour or two before kickoff. That's surely not enough time.
I think Dobbs literally he does not have the capability to ever lead a receiver over the middle. Like, he just can't do it. I've never seen him lead a receiver over the middle. And you saw with Dormandy, at least the very first throw that he throws, even though Josh Smith didn't catch it, it was right on the money.
Right on the money. And no offense to Dobbs, that's a pass he can't make. And I'm not trying to start anything on here. Jerry, do I offend you by saying the ball that Dormandy threw was just an arm talent throw to Smith, the ball that Smith should have caught?
No, for me, I would disagree a little bit. Again, deep balls are all technique and rhythm. And to me, that's what he appeared to do. It doesn't add up when a guy who does have a strong arm or has a live arm and can make all the intermediate throws, all of a sudden on a deep ball throw isn't accurate, or they tend to throw them behind. You know what I mean? So to me, when I see that, to me, it's more of a technique thing. It isn't an arm talent or arm strength thing. So to me, what I saw in Dormandy, he comes in, he gets a snap, a couple steps there in rhythm, and he lets it go off his back foot like he's supposed to, and he drives through the ball. So to me, that's more of a technique thing, more so just a pure arm talent thing.
I mean,
for a guy who can throw all the intermediate stuff that you need him to, like Dobbs.
To Dobbs's point, to Eric's point, though, Dobbs today is 15 out of 23. In this game here, unless there's a couple drops, he should be 20 out of 23 in today's game. I mean, he threw some dirt balls today, and no touchdowns, and it was just kind of a listless performance from him, I thought. Didn't you, Jerry?
Yeah, I thought so, too. And the one that really stuck out to me right before the half, they're down there in position to get a touchdown or a field goal, hopefully a touchdown in a game like this. It's a simple high-low read out there with the cornerback and the two Tennessee wide receivers. You get they were in a little stack formation. The one guy ends up running a corner route deep to try and get behind the corner and have leverage on the safety. The underneath guy runs a little quick out. Well, the cornerback kind of he didn't dart out of there immediately. He kind of baited him. And all of a sudden, he drops back. But I thought there was enough time to see that cornerback did bail and get underneath that deep corner route to where the flat route underneath was obvious. And he should have just taken it. The tight end, I think it would have gotten a completion. And who knows, guys miss tackles in the open field all the time, especially down there near the goal line with a bigger guy to tackle. That guy probably could have caught at least 90 down inside the five, if not a touchdown, with a missed tackle there. So to me, the fact that he's just skipping balls, that's a rhythm and technique thing. And the other part that bothers me the most is just missing reads. That's an easy read, a high-low read down there. They back off, you hit the underneath route, take the completion, and keep the chains moving.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not – here's my thing with Dobbs. Dobbs is – Tennessee is not bowl eligible for the second straight year, which is something to celebrate, by the way. If it isn't for Josh Dobbs, and in losses this year, he has been an absolute ultimate warrior world beater. Make no mistake about it. I respect the heck out of him. Today, however, here should have been what Butch Jones should have told that team today. Dormandy, I want you to play at least half this football game. Kelly, I want you to play at least half this football game. Our backup offensive lineman, I want you guys to play. I need you guys on the sidelines to get on these starters when they come off the field. Let's everybody hold everybody accountable here. Let's have a high-level workout with this game. That's what they should have done. By the way, Georgia, 20-13 final over Auburn. That Mark Richt is going to save his job. Eric, I'll let you finish up. I just want to get out there that I'm not ripping Dobbs, but today he was absolutely listless in today's game.
Yeah, I agree. And but I'll end here with three positives, okay, because that's the theme of your show today. Number one, I actually bought two books recently from your Book Corner collection. Number two, it's nice to see Dave Hart's long-lost Hispanic twin brother on the North Texas sideline there.
Yes.
And number three, maybe with the gross field that we play on with our high-level university, maybe now there's enough attention for somebody to actually do something about it.
Thank you. I can report that they actually, in the middle of the week, reached out to two of their experts that are on campus that I've been talking about, that we talked about last week on the program. Now, I took to Wednesday of this week for that to happen, but they finally reached out to them. And so I confirmed that Friday morning. And they finally are going to let those guys consult on the field, the field conditions. And Russell's right, Jerry. They were making fun. The Mean Green on their Twitter account was making fun of Tennessee for painting the field green before the game. Jerry, when you look at that playing surface as you're watching that game, and the playing surface impacted that game for both teams today, should it ever come to that in Knoxville? I mean, we had a great week here. We didn't have a ton of rain. Last week, I was willing to blame it on the rain. That surface today was coming apart at every cut.
Yeah, well, I think it was Russ on last week's fifth quarter show who was talking about just the natural, or the lack of natural sunlight that's been coming through the stadium ever since they enclosed the dome, so to speak, and you add the other press box there. You know, when us three were coming up through UT, it was almost a perfect size stadium because you had the three-quarter enclosure.
Yep.
On the top level, so you still had 90-something thousand fans in there, and then, you know, if it was a sellout crowd, they would add some of the seats in on the ground level, then you'd almost come out, you know, to just over 100,000, and you get plenty of sun come through there. So when they added grass, I think it was in 94, you know, my senior year, that first year, I mean, heck, you go down there during the summertime, springtime, and the sun would just be blazing down there on that field. So that field would just be getting just plenty of natural sunlight for, you know, probably three quarters of the year. So, you know, fast forward to now. I mean, you guys talked it last week. You can almost see, you know, okay, maybe that is the ultimate problem, is that there's just not enough sunlight coming through there to have a field that shouldn't be having those problems.
Final numbers in today's game, and then we'll go to our phones. Your final numbers today are presented by our friends today, ladies and gentlemen, at Smartway. GoSmartway.net, 8416 Kingston Pike near Bearden High School. It is the everything for your home, pay your way, home of the pay your way, be smart, buy smart, the smart way, everything for home store, you name it, they've got it for you, from furniture, appliances, electronics, cell phones, you name it, they have it. They even have tires there, and they're constantly adding new products and new product lines, and it's exciting what they do every day at Smartway, and they want to take care of you. Tons of folks have come in off the program. Thank you for supporting what we do here. It's very important that you do that, and we will keep this commercial break free as long as you continue to support us. The bottom line with Smartway is You select your payment options, how often you want to pay, what you want to pay, and then you can change the payment plan as often as you want. All on-time lease payments will earn you 2% in-store cash credit that can be used anytime you want for what you want. The final numbers today, Tennessee victorious 24-0 over North Texas. For Tennessee in the game, Josh Dobbs, 15-23, 136 with an interception. Kamara, 15 carries, 127 yards, 2 touchdowns, a long of 27. Hurd, 15 carries, 72 yards, 1 touchdown, a long of 19. Kamara, by the way, averaged 8.5 yards a carry. Tennessee only averaged, on one of the worst rush defenses in America, 4.9 yards per carry. They should have had a much better day on the ground. For Tennessee, Young, with 4 carries, 17 yards. Kelly, 5 carries, 15 yards. Dormandy, 4 carries, 6 yards. Dobbs, 4 for 3. Von Pearson, a reverse for minus 3. Tennessee receiving. Josh Malone led the day for the Volunteers. No one really did much to speak of. 9 receivers caught 18 passes for 172 yards with a long of 26. In the game today, time of possession, North Texas, 30 minutes, 59 seconds to Tennessee's 29 minutes. Should they ever have the ball longer than us, Dubsy, in our building? Unless we're scoring, unless it's a 65-0 game and we've scored on the first play every time?
I don't put a lot of stock in time of possession.
But that's unbelievable. Jerry, in a game where you win 24-0 against a nothing opponent, should they have the ball longer than you?
No, they should not.
Thank you.
I jotted down right at the beginning of the fourth quarter what the time of possession was. I think it was Tennessee had about 20 minutes of possession. North Texas had 27. So
that just shouldn't be.
Yeah, and especially I kind of attributed to, you know, if you go back to the last three possessions right before the half, you get a punt, field goal, interception. So, you know, those first two of those three were the punt, where we get the punt and the field goal, you know, just, you know, finish them off, sustaining drives. I mean, that, you know, that number there that we saw, that the 20 versus the 27 with them being, having more than us, that just didn't happen against an opponent like that, especially when you got, a couple of capable runners, Kamara, Dobbs, and, as Beno put a couple weeks ago, and the other part too I wrote down was just, when we do well, the third element of that is Dobbs. And today he wasn't part of that mix of the running game.
But here's the thing: Dobbs is going to protect himself in a game like that. Okay, that's the deal. Dobbs is going to protect himself in a game like that. I don't want him running in that game. We don't want him running in that game. I want Josh Dobbs. That's why Jones's strategy in today's game ought to be Dormandy plays from the middle of the second quarter on. Okay? Russell, go ahead.
Butch Jones is at the podium. He says it's good to be bowl eligible. I'll bet it is, considering Butch Jones with the 6th win. Getting bowl eligible today guarantees himself a $100,000 bonus.
Hey, he's all smiles.
Cha-ching.
Nice to live in his world.
What would you, if you're Butch Jones, what are you doing with your $100,000 bonus today?
If I was Butch Jones, I'd be buying me about 3 or 4 more recruits. Let's go back to the phones. But see, if I were head coaching, I'd be cheating like crazy. You wouldn't like me if I was head coaching. I'd pay everybody in sight. I mean, I would make SMU blush if you ever let me around that stuff back in the day.
The Basilio 30 for 30 in a couple of years would be pretty epic.
I'd pay every kid in sight. Let's get in the mix and in the hunt with Eric, who's down at South Georgia. Eric, I'm just keeping it real here, man.
Hey, you are, and I'm looking forward to that 30 for 30 special. But you know, with it's going to be an ESPN thing, it's got to have some element of racism in it, that somebody is battling deep-seated racism, right?
Yes.
Well, you've battled anti-Italian sentiment here in the Southeast.
Yes, in East Tennessee. I mean, I've been
trailblazer.
I've been slurred at every turn.
You guys are still bringing up the Godfather thing. That was right on the money. Come on.
Oh no, Eric, you're the tip of the iceberg. I'm talking about some real stuff, man.
You know, I wondered. I mean, come on. I wonder whether we've got a wartime consigliere coaching our team sometimes. You know what I mean? But
interesting.
I've wondered. One quick dream. Okay, and I've wondered about this. I'll just throw this out. I wondered what it would have been like if Tennessee, sometime back in the '50s, when we were floundering around, had picked up Vince Lombardi and brought him down here as a head coach, what that would have looked like. Holy cow. But anyway, I'm gonna go back to something that one of our callers said last week, and that's what this team looked like. They had the Red Bull energy, enthusiasm, sugar rush coming out of the tunnel, and after a few drives, it was gone. Other little random thoughts I had written down. Third quarter for what? Forget third down for what? Third quarter for what? Good grief. I thought that North Texas played Tennessee today a whole lot like Tennessee played Florida in 2009. Real kind of a similar feel to it. You know, I'm just going to play possession ball. I'm going to run the clock, get a couple of first downs, and just hang around and see if I can make a chance, you know, if I can make something happen. Damn.
Jerry, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to me. To me, that means that they came in here with a focus. And sometimes when I'd like to see us do that to our opponents a little bit more.
Absolutely.
What you see happen is, and I think you'd see it more from us when we're playing our opponents, because the game's obviously going to be closer because we're having more talent to bring to the table. But I think what you see happen is the other team, they're inefficient, they're not having the best day, and boom, you know, again, like right before the half, you see a crack in Tennessee's armor. Dobbs throws the interception down there. So to me, I thought it was an interesting strategy, which, you know, made you got to give it to the North Texas staff, but I'd like to see us kind of approach some of these games that way against some of the teams that we play.
I would too, especially, you know, you played Alabama like that. You know, I think to some degree that you try and string things out. You want to keep their offense off the field. That's how you do it, right? I felt like, you know, going through the week, I was watching this and said, my gosh, why do we not just go ahead and start Dormady? Why not? You know, what do you got to lose? You're going to take care of North Texas, but you're going to get some progress towards 2016 by getting this kid a full start. You give Josh Dobbs a chance to rest up and get healthy. I mean, my gosh, if I paid money to come and watch this game, I'd be upset. This is just bad. You know, this is like the moment in Bull Durham where the coach walks in there and calls them a bunch of lollygaggers. Lollygaggers! That's, golly. But hey, it's a win.
Thank you, brother. So, good talking to you. And you're exactly right. And it's a win. And it's, you know, and I take it for what it is. Thank you, Eric. Good talking to you in beautiful South Georgia. 865-200-5402 if you want to get in with us. As a couple people have vacated the lines. Butch Jones gets a $100,000 bonus. Tennessee gets bowl eligible today. John Bryce quoting Butch Jones saying that Chris Weather did a great job with his eye discipline.
That's good. That was one of the keys coming into the game, I felt.
And by the
way, Chris Weather type discipline.
Matt Stinchcomb today used the term eye discipline at least once, if not
twice.
Boy,
poor Dave Neal and Matt Stinchcomb. Those guys sounded like they'd rather be covering a middle school bowling tournament.
Well, that reminds me, one year we were on WMAK here locally doing TV, and Bino said
what is
WMAK stood for, we manufacture ass kickings. Because every time we showed up, Jerry, somewhere, even the matchups that look good on paper, somebody was going to get their wig split. You know what I mean, Jerry?
Yep.
And it's hard watching those games when somebody gets their wig split every week. Today's game, even though that was a better football game than I thought it would be, I thought we were covering today. That's how silly I am. gambling buddy of mine called me this morning and said, what should I do? I said, Tennessee don't cover that spread. Easy. This team's terrible. They can't play. And he said, but we can't concentrate. By the way, Army just took to the field a few moments ago carrying a French flag. That's a cool, look at that, Dubs. That's
yeah, I saw
a cool
that
little,
earlier this afternoon.
That's a cool little deal. Let's go to the phones without further ado. So that happened earlier today? Let's go to the phones, get our next call in and get TC in here on your Smartway Dalton Bearing Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction. Alabama and Mississippi State underway down in Stark, Vegas. And we will track this one with you. And I hope Dak Prescott has a big game today. First justice in the world, he has a big game and gets into the Heisman Trophy race because he's been the best player in this league all year. This guy has been, and nobody talks about him.
That entire Mississippi State team, I mean, they're just quietly 7-2.
Yep.
Having a good year.
Yep.
They win this game, Dan Mullen's going to be a rich man here in a couple of months.
Going to be a rich boy.
He gets out of there.
Gone too far. He knows it doesn't matter anyway. TC's in here. TC, you're in Athens. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony B. Did you hear those little voices?
Wow, I love it, man. I got my own little cheering section.
Yes, sir, brother. Let me tell you, Tony B, man, that may have been the least exciting game I've ever watched in Neyland. But as far as the field is concerned, but it was the most exciting as far as the stands were concerned for me. And I had both my girls with me today, and I've never had a better time at a Tennessee football game, I don't think.
And that's the deal. And here's where I'm going to go with today's game. My brother-in-law, John Cayley, who went to Tennessee back in the mid-90s, he's getting old. John marched today in the alumni band. It was a thrill to get to get down there and watch him march and watch him do his thing. Time for my wife to come together with her cousin Susan, who comes in from the mid-state, and see family. And then earlier today, a guy that has taught me music low these many years brought his kids to their first ever football game today and told me they had a terrific time, David Bivens and his great family. That is what today's game is about. That's what it's about. That, and I celebrate that. I don't
Absolutely.
Lose focus of that.
Yeah. That's what it was for me today, man. I took a lot of pictures, made a lot of great memories today, all the way till, you know, I'd really planned on leaving between third and fourth quarter and us just going ahead and getting back on the road, getting back to Athens, Georgia, not getting in too late tonight and all that. But, asked the girls, you know, hey, y'all want to stay? They were having a good time. I said, all right, let's stay. And then it hit me there with a few minutes left in the game. Oh, my goodness, the Tennessee Waltz is coming. And I tell you, as I put my arm, I'm going to try not to cry, man. As I put my arm around my girl at the end and they played the Tennessee Waltz. Brother, that was special. That was special.
See that right and, there, Jerry? You hear that man's tears in his eyes, Jerry? You getting that all the way in Seattle, Jerry?
I do. It's ironic that he brings that up. You know, my first game was, I think it was 82 against the Virginia Wahoos at home, and I think Tennessee might have even lost. And right up there at the end, I heard this song. I was like, man, that's kind of captive. And then again, my dad was like, hey, that's a Tennessee Waltz, and man, it always sticks with you. And I totally can appreciate that. And I'm so glad this gentleman here had the opportunity to have his kids stick around, man, and experience that's something special, especially for the native Tennessee folks.
That's a blessing, TC. What you need to do now is you need to get them down to Alabama or Florida, a place like that, because you're getting ready to baptize them into a life of torture. My poor son, after that Oklahoma game, he comes home and he's got tears in his eyes. And then after that other stupid game, that Florida game, he was crying his eyes out. And what was the third home game where he just looked at me like, Dad,
Arkansas.
Arkansas. He goes, I'm ready to quit. He goes, why did you do this to me? I said, I don't know. I love you, man. I want to share it with you.
Seriously, man. It's crazy, and they're both hugged up to me now. They know what they do. I guess they now they see what it means to me, and and what they mean to me, and how much it means to spend the day with them here. And so
you got
I just wanted to share that with the callers, man.
Thank you, man.
I love you guys.
All right, love you too, man. God is great all the time, and all the time God is great. Anything else for us, Jerry, on the way out? Give me a final thought. What do you do with this game if you're the coaching staff? Do you even look at the film of this game, or do you just say, hey, today was a throwaway day, we got through it, whatever?
Yeah, I think you definitely got to look at the film, and, you know, to me, you got to keep preaching to this team, hey, part of growing up and taking this program to the next level is when you get these opportunities to grow as a player. Obviously, they were going to win this game either way. That's not even the case. But if you're the coach, you got to look at Josh Dobbs and go, "Hey, man, this is a week for you to get better before this huge game against Missouri coming up next week." You know, and if you're looking at the coordinator, you go, "Hey, you know, for you, I really need for you to start getting Dougherty some snaps in some of these games where, you know, we're not going to lose anything. It's just going to be positive if we can get him in there." So to me, that's where you got to be on these guys about, hey, let's finish these games, cause we're going to need it, one more time.
Yep.
I'm telling you, like you've been, preluding here, that Missouri team is going to come fired up. I believe those fans are going to come fired up. I believe it's going to be a night game. And they have not played well against Missouri just in this new series since they've entered the league. So
long range forecast is a rainstorm up there. It's going to be very cold. It's going to be brutal. It's going to be a real challenge for Tennessee to get out of there with a victory against a great, and I mean great, Missouri defense. Now offensively, they are brutal. Defensively, however, they are very good. Thank you, Jerry.
All right, look forward to the scouting report this week against Missouri, Tony. Thank you.
Hey, stay away from fluoride between now and then, brother. I want you sharp. See you, brother.
All right, see you.
Alabama looks like they got a little fluoride hangover. 46 past the hour. I want to get our next caller in on your Smartway Dalton Behring Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction. A line open for you if you want to get in. As TC leaves us, we had another caller who fell off the line as well. We'll try to get as many folks in as we can. Brentwood Dottie, I'm coming to you momentarily as I remind you that anything that turns or makes makes mobile components work, that is what Dalton Behring has. So if you're looking for thousands, they have any of the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of bearings. They have hoses, hose assemblies, fittings, couplings, hydraulic motors, as I said, thousands of bearings. They are proud to be only one of a handful of Prince Hydraulic master distributors in the nation. 200,000 AC and DC hydraulic cylinders and power units annually is what they sell at Dalton Behring and Hydraulic right up the street in an absolutely beautiful place, Granger County, Tennessee, online at daltonhydraulic.com. Again, online at daltonhydraulic.com. Dalton Behring and Hydraulics. My name is Tony Basilio. That is Russell W. Smith across from me. You can hear him. Russell, where?
Fox Sports Radio Knoxville, 1340 AM here in town, online at sportsradioknoxville.com. And give me a follow on Twitter, at Russell the Drive, my new Twitter handle.
At Russell the Drive. And then we're going to go back to the phones, as I said. Brentwood Donnie's going to join us. If you want to get in, 865-200-5402. I say let's accentuate the positive today. The positive is Tennessee's bowl eligible for the second straight year. The positive is that Butch Jones will be $100,000 richer. The positive is that North Texas game is in the rearview mirror. Now we can buckle down for what should be three interesting and entertaining football games the rest of the way. Missouri next week at night, where we're having a listener watch party at Cazzy's, if you're so inclined. The Vanderbilt game the week after that.
Do you have any worries about that Missouri game? Did you guys talk about that on your show?
100%.
Like, all the,
I'm
really?
Completely worried about it.
No, I mean, like, not the game,
no.
But, like, the off-the-field, like, going into that.
And for our fan base, yes, I'm concerned about that. If I were going up there, I would be concerned about going into that environment. Yes. You know that they've, if you go to my website from Tuesday or Wednesday of this week, and Brentwood Donnie, I'm coming right to you, but they're playing a knockout game on their campus. See, that's not being talked about by the media, but, you know what the knockout game is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, see, I'm not worried about those kids last night, bitching about how the Paris attacks takes away their media attention.
Who said that?
Oh, it was all over Twitter. A bunch of those
idiots.
Missouri
were talking.
Kids? Yes.
They're that sick?
Well, they're just stupid. It's not sick. They're just completely, and they're so unimpressive. I would have no worry. I hear people freaking about it. I'd walk right in there.
No, let me tell you something.
They won't do anything. They're cowards.
Russell, you need to go on Fox Channel 2.
They won't do anything.
You need to look up on Fox Channel 2, knockout game, and look at the hotspots. They have a map. People have been getting knocked out around that campus. Professors, women, children. People have been getting their wig split. Let's go to the phones and get Brentwood Donnie in here, and that does scare me. Brentwood Donnie, hello and welcome.
How you doing? Thanks for having me on the
show. Hey, Donnie, appreciate you being on your Smart Way Dalton Bearing Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction.
Well, very good. So, hey, listen, I want to keep the positivity rolling. We got to win, and, you know, kind of have to play who's on your schedule. But moving forward with the Rays train moving in, I just wanted to kind of pose the question, how would you handle, you know, the Rays train is coming in for Butch Jones at the end of the year. With all the open jobs out there across the country, and there's probably even more to come, I think it's pretty, if you've got any kind of football acumen, I think it's pretty safe to say that, you know, Butch Jones is going to be, he's going to be what he's going to be. He's going to be an average coach here. And, you know, I just very curious to see what your perspective is about the timing of all these open jobs out there. And, you know, what the contractual situation looks like for this guy. Because I just don't believe that based on what we've seen, I don't know that this style of play is going to be able to allow us to play for championships. I think it's going to be a good place for us now. But in terms of, you know, getting to the level that we all want to be at, I'm not so sure that that's where we're going to be able to make it there.
Donnie, define play for a championship for me. What do you mean by that?
So when I think about playing for a championship, I'll give you a perfect example. So you think about the team that came in today, right? So they, very undermanned, you know, one of the worst teams in college football. But yet, they were able to slow that game down and give themselves a fighting chance just by moving the chains, moving the ball, running the ball, keeping the clock running. And, you know, we've never made Even since Butch Jones first got here, I made the trip out to Oregon, and that would have been a perfect game plan for him to stay out to Oregon with us. But instead, we went out to Oregon and tried to play their game. And I think we've seen that over the last 36 months. We've seen a pattern where we don't really game plan for the opponents like that. And, you know, perfect example of that also would be last week where, you know, game's in the fourth quarter and there's 6 minutes left to go, but because we're in such a hurry, you know, we end up giving up like four extra possessions on offense to them because we're in such a daggum hurry. And I can't for the life of me understand how that's going to translate into championship BCS level ball, because the experienced elite coaches will absolutely take you to woodshed if you give them extra opportunities like that. And that's my perspective on it.
Russell, your thoughts, and I'm going to bring Bino into the conversation. Russell, your thoughts on... Okay, thank you. Bino, your thoughts on what that gentleman just said. And by the way, if you want to get in with us today, 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. On your Smart Way, Dalton Bearing Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction. Because here's the thing, there are a ton of jobs open, including Virginia Tech, where Whit Babcock's up there, who Butch Jones worked for at Cincinnati. I don't know if Butch Jones will be able to leverage other jobs against getting a raise or not, or how that's going to work. I do think, though, that Butch Jones, when you look at what they've been able to do thus far here, Russell, they've got all the hallmarks of a healthy program here, an extremely healthy program. And you're in a league, people don't want to hear this, but you're in a league where Kevin Sumlin's making $5 million. And if you were to say to me, who's done more, Kevin Sumlin or Butch Jones, I mean, it's about tied,
yeah,
isn't it?
I don't think Butch Jones is going anywhere. I think he wants to say and see if. But I do think he definitely will use some of those openings to leverage himself into a raise here. And can't blame him for doing that. It's America, man. It's what it's all about, right? Well, I got to get mine before you get yours.
Well, I mean, I guess. I suppose.
I'm not saying he deserves it, but. He's going to get it.
Based on what other guys are making, why wouldn't he deserve it? Think about that.
Well,
based on what some other guys are making, why wouldn't he deserve it?
If we can get back to the Missouri angle for a little bit.
Go ahead.
If these guys go on, and the Missouri strike was completely stupid.
Right.
But if there's a real strike and players want their share of the pie of all this money that's going around, maybe that's the market correction that gets some of these coaching salaries and just the stupidity of it all back.
Well, that's right.
Because if they have to start paying these kids,
correct,
they're not going to be able to afford these ridiculous raises.
That's why the coaches and the administrators are fighting it like hell, because they know that's our money. That's our making us set for life money, where we're a bunch of PE teachers and glorified high school athletic directors. That's what these people are. I mean, you think Dave Hart's some brilliant guy? I mean, are you kidding me?
Philip Fulmer, when he got the head coaching job in 92, was making $300,000 a year.
And was thrilled.
Was happy to have it.
Thrilled to get it.
Butch Jones can't go back to making $300,000 a year, Tony. How would he get by?
You know what kills me is when I see guys that are doing whatever they're doing, and they get fired from jobs, and they go and they coach high school football, and they say, well, "What did you think I was going to do?" And you see countless guys do that. Spurrier said that when he got up and retired. I might just go get me a high school team.
How about Mississippi State here, first and goal at the Alabama 2-yard line?
Punch it in, boys.
Line up, yeah, punch it in. No, we're going to get in the shotgun and throw it all over the field.
That's just what football's become. Let's go back to our phones and get BK in here. Bino detonated himself. I'm kind of worried about old Bino. Let's get BK in here. BK, welcome in. Smartway Dalton Bearing Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction. Welcome in.
Hey, Tony, how's it going?
Doing great. We're kind of mystified here because Dak Prescott, they called his number out of a shotgun, and he's only able to get down to the 1 yard line.
Fourth and goal, the one, you go for it.
This is so, of course you do. This is so hard to watch, man. These spread teams on the goal line. I don't know, BK. I sound like an old man.
Not what the chart says. Oh, Dan Mullen.
Sound like an old man.
Tony, you want to know what's hard to watch? Guess what I'm about to go do.
Tell me.
Down here in Nashville, guess where I'm thinking I'm going?
Vanderbilt.
Right at the stadium, man.
You're going to do some pre-scouting.
Yeah, I'm thinking 5 to 6, maybe. What do you think?
Oh, no question. 5 to 6.
They have no offense. So anyway, I thought I'd do it, but I wanted to comment a little bit what I saw today. I mean,
okay.
Bottom line, when Dobbs. When he has, 3 yards rushing, we're going to struggle. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You make a great point. We don't want him running in a game like this, but, I mean, he's just not going to be able to carry it with with his arm. He just can't. What do you think?
No. And here's looking back at today's game, what they should have done with Dobbs is give him a day off. You didn't need him to beat that team today. And he's banged up. And so you kind of have him out there on quarter tank. And, you know, he goes 15 for 20. He goes 15 for 23 in the game for 136. But what do you really get out of it, BK? That's versus letting a kid play, letting us see the kid play, something a little different, something with a little bit of flavor. You know what I mean by that?
Absolutely. I would have started Dormady, but just for that reason, give him a – let him get some reps. Hey, he could be our starting quarterback in 3 weeks, for all we know, 2 weeks. And he's got no real live bullets. So, yeah, I think it would have been a good idea to let him get the whole game in.
I mean, just looking at the way the game unfolded, that North Texas team, I mean, Tennessee played like a D-minus game, really. D game and beat them 24-0. I mean, Tennessee didn't even, they barely got out of bed this morning, is what I would call the level of effort in that game. Swain was on them pretty hard on Twitter. A couple other former players were on them pretty hard. And those guys know. Jerry Colquitt got on them a few minutes ago for that lack of effort today. You know, you're not going to fool those guys. I understand it, BK, because that team is so bad. And you're used to playing in the Southeastern Conference. And what the hell? Why are you playing that game in November? But anyway, that's just me. This league needs to figure that out. But that's just how it's done in this league. I don't understand. I don't understand that.
Hey, Tony, let me ask you this question and make an observation. The offensive line, I mean, obviously it was not their best effort. And I know Jayshon Roberts didn't dress again, you know, and hopefully he'll be back next week. But, you know, to me, last week we started off like a gangbusters, and then that Dylan Wiseman got hurt. And it seemed to me like once he got hurt, we were done running the football. And I just kind of wondered, have they just on that offensive line, that next man up, have they just done that to where there's not the next man to get up? Because I don't know who played today on the line, but again, it was underwhelming.
I think that offensive line, I mean, it's symptomatic of the entire team, and they come right out there and go right down the field with no resistance at all offered by North Texas, and then they feel like they've got it made. And I mean, the entire team has this problem of getting up early in a game and
staying
going to sleep.
It. Yeah, staying in it. Yeah.
Well, there was just zero push really from that point forward. Maybe later in the second half, we got, you know, Kamara kind of got on a roll there, but it just looks to me like that those guys are just, I don't know, they're not playing up the way they were playing earlier in the season. And I don't know who's hurt, who played, and who didn't. But
I think you answered some of that yourself, because I think when you take Dobbs and he's one dimensional, I think that when he doesn't run the football, offensively, we're going to be average.
Yeah.
At best. And it's not an offensive line issue. It's just the way it is. If he's not going to run the ball and be one of the backs and one of the catalysts of the offense, which again, that's why in this game, man, I would not have had him out there, because he's banged up. And you got two brutally difficult games coming up.
Yeah, absolutely we do.
You know? And so, you know, we laugh at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt has really improved this year.
Their defense is good.
In a radio kind of way. Yeah, their defense is very good. And Missouri's defense is big league. They will hit you. They will hurt you. They will get after you. And if that game at night up there next week, with everything that's gone on, that has weirdness written all over it to me. That has get out of there with a win and be happy to get it to me.
There's no question.
And I would have wanted a rested Dobbs, BK, a guy that had a week off. While the game's going on, he's sitting in a sauna somewhere, or even getting a massage somewhere while that game's going on.
Even arrested Hurd. I mean,
yeah.
I thought he took way too many carries today.
Kelly had five carries. Why didn't he get the ball to Kelly 15, 20 times today? Let Kelly play.
I agree. I mean, let him get out there in the mix and the hunt. See what he's about.
Sure.
And get after it.
You're playing a team, and what you do is you can leave those kids on the sidelines, and if you need them, you stick them in. But you're playing a team. You don't need those guys today to beat that team. That team lost to a 1AA football team by 7 touchdowns earlier in the season. That's what cost Dan McCarney his job and gave young Dave Hart the job, who had a nice plan in there today, by the way, and his hair looked great doing it.
Young Dave, Coach Hart, right?
I'm sorry, Coach Hart, Coach Tindall, Coach Hart.
Yeah, that's it. Well, listen, Tony, I got to get over here into Dudley Field and watch this thing.
Well, that's a great name for it. Thank you, Dudley Field. That's wonderful. Thank you. Let me bring Bino in here. 865-200-5402. If you want to get in with us again, 865-200-5402. As Mississippi State and Alabama, Mississippi State is doing to Alabama what we did to them. They're forcing Coker to throw the football, and Russell, he's not up to it. He's just not.
No, they're...
Let's just face facts.
Bama's in a game right here.
Yes, they are. It's going to be a dogfight. As you're 5.5 to go in the first quarter, and Alabama just turned the ball over back to Mississippi State. State's got it on.